This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast. My name is Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA, and my colleague is Somerset FA's County Training Officer and PGMOL Assessor, Richard Mellon. If you're a new listener, then welcome. You can listen online at the website refereesworld.co.uk or on iTunes. Just search for Referee's World and you can download it to your iPad or your iPhone. And if you want to keep up to date with us, you can follow us on Twitter at Referees World or like our Facebook page, facebook.com/Referees World Podcast. In this episode, we talk exclusively to senior national game referee manager Ian Blanchard.
So my name's Ian Blanchard. Welcome to Wembley. I'm the senior national game referee manager. Welcome to the Referee World Podcast. I'm being interviewed, is it, or grilled by Rich Mellon and Darren Callum. I hope you enjoy what I've got to say around refereeing within the grassroots game and the national game here at the Football Association.
Rich and I were invited to Wembley the day before the FA Cup final between Chelsea and Liverpool, which was obviously very exciting, and we were like kids in sweet shops, to talk to the man at the top about mentoring, advice and tips for new referees. We discussed the National Referee Development Plan, and he tells us about a match incident involving Alan Shearer.
From grassroots to the World Cup.
This is the Referees World Podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
And I'm delighted to say before we start that the latest Google stats are showing that the Referees World Podcast is now listened to in 72 countries, which is fantastic. So thank you very much for all your support. Right then, day before the FA Cup final, what a day to be around Wembley, I tell you. We were invited to the FA to speak to Ian Blanchard. He started by telling us a bit about his background.
This is the Referees World Podcast.
I played till I was 32. I picked up a nasty knee injury. Didn't play to any great standards. Had trials at a couple of clubs, Leeds and Grimsby. But played sort of local football, senior local football. And I blamed my son. I had a year out because of my injury. And then at the same time, my son was 9 years of age, played local football. And like a doting dad, you go along and support. And a lot of the time, there was no referee. And I think they looked around the age profile of some of the parents who were supporting the kids. And fortunately, I was one of the youngest. And hence the reason why they used to give me the whistle, and off you go. At that time, I thought it was an easy job, but then I suddenly realised that I didn't really know that much about the laws of the game. And in October 1987, I started a basic referees course in Hull, East Riding County Football Association, in a place called St George's Street, and got through that, went into local football. My first ever game was in January 1988. I remember it to this day. You always remember your first games.
Yeah.
Seven Seas were a local company who produced oily stuff and things like that against Kingston Youth Club. I think the score was something like 7-4. And in that game, I had my first caution. And that was it. From there onwards, I was hooked. I was the old class 3.
Yes.
In the old status rather than the levels that we've got now. That was in January. In the end of that year, they promoted me to Class 2. I had 1 year at Class 2, and they promoted me to Class 1. And in that same month of getting my Class 1, I was asked to go on to the Northern Prem, the old Northern Prem as it was, as an assistant referee.
And what age was that?
I was 32 when I started. So by the time I got to Northern Prem, I was 33.
Late starter, really?
Yeah, late starter.
Late starter, so there's nothing wrong with that nowadays?
Absolutely not, no. And I'd encourage anybody to come into refereeing who really shows a desire for it, because the opportunities are there. I suppose it's down to your commitment and your motivation and everything else that goes with being a good referee. Mm.
Are you still actively refereeing?
I'm not too sure I'd use the word active, yeah. Darren, but this year I haven't been. It's been an exceedingly busy year. But previously I still go out there and referee in the East Cheshire Sunday League, a local league to where I live. They have two divisions, a total of about 28 teams, and still enjoy going out there, running around, and trying to control and manage a game of football.
Are you still very harsh on yourself when perhaps a decision hasn't gone the way in which you'd hoped, or maybe there was a decision you missed and you thought, damn, I should have nailed that one?
Yeah, I remember the last game I did. The previous season I only did about four or five games, again because of work commitments. And I remember one game out there, it's funny how you remember these things, because early in the game there was an advantage and I played a good advantage and they scored from it and I thought, great, really good. And then I had to give two penalties, one which I thought was accurate and the other one, in hindsight, I'm thinking, no, got that one wrong. So yeah, I am really my own worst critic, and I think referees have to be. And I think a real characteristic of being a good referee is being honest, because sometimes things don't go well. Sometimes you make mistakes. We're all human at the end of the day. But, so even at this latter stage of my career, I'm still making mistakes, but still enjoying the environment of local football and going out there and meeting the challenge.
That was one of the questions I was going to ask, was what would you say is probably one of the best characteristics you'd look for from a referee?
I've had this question asked many, many times, and I would say courage and strength. I think you have to have that inbuilt strength, the capacity to deal with some awkward situations, the capacity to deal with some big, big decisions, game-changing decisions, even within local football, recognising that towards the end of the season, your decision, or whatever you do, will have an impact possibly on a team being promoted or relegated, or getting to a cup final, or winning a cup final. So I think strength, having the courage to be steadfast, stick by your guns. You're there to do a job which is arbitrate, control, manage a game of football.
Is that easy to sell to a youngster just coming through the ranks though? Somebody who's just about to leave school, perhaps not overly confident with their own personality, and it can be a big ask for them.
Of course it can, and that's why we've got a system in place now where we're supporting our referees, I believe, better than ever before. So we've got people like mentors and coaches, experienced people, experienced referees, who now work with our younger referees or inexperienced referees to aid their development. And part of that development is recognising what to do, how to do it, how to interact with players, building up that confidence so that when they go out and do their next game, they have that ability and belief that they're going to be all right and control a game of football.
We do talk quite a lot about mentor, and Richard's my mentor. I didn't know much about mentors until the last couple of years. I never had one, so I kind of plodded along in my own way. But I personally cannot stress the importance of having a mentor, which I'm sure you can advocate for me.
Yeah, I mean, we look at mentors very differently to maybe other aspects and other sports. Our mentors are there to support the new referee. They're there to support them through their first six games, hopefully go and watch them. But even if they don't go and watch them, they're there at the end of the telephone. They're there to support and help. They're there to guide. They're there to put the arm around the shoulder and say, keep going, you're doing a good job. They're not there to be critical. They're not there to develop the referee. Give them little tips and helpful tips, but it's all about support, assistance and guidance. And then the coaches come in. Once you get, I believe, referees and the information, the stats say that if we're able to get a young referee or an experienced referee through their first season and they're still refereeing in their second season, we're able to retain them for a lot, lot longer. So it's that first experience of refereeing that we really do need to, and we have centred our efforts and thoughts on. And that's where the mentors play this huge role. And of course, it's like everything else. There's a huge reliance on our volunteers. Now, mentors are tremendously capable and do a great job, but we need more of them.
Ian, just a cut in here, and before we move on to another part of the conversation, what advice would you give to our young aspiring listeners out there that would arguably, they want a mentor, they want to progress? What tips would you give them? How will they make an approach? Who should they approach?
Yeah, I'd say that the real important people within the county structures, of which we have 50 county football associations in this country, are our referee development officers or referee development managers. 4 years ago, the Football Association, through the National Game, decided to invest £4.1 million to put referee development officers in place in every single county. Now, some are full-time, or most are full-time, should I say, some are part-time. But they are the focus within the counties. Their responsibilities are around referee recruitment, retention, education, but predominantly also, they are the focus. They're the person that they should contact to seek advice and help and guidance on anything to do with refereeing. So if they're wanting a mentor, that's the person they should contact. If they go onto the County FA website, they'll find all the details of the individuals concerned. They can ring them up, they can drop them an email, and they will answer them, and they'll be at their beck and call to help them with their development.
Okay, that's a great piece of advice. Thanks for that, Ian. Okay, let's go back on track now and look at your professional career. Where did you come from before you arrived at the FA?
I was in the police for 22 years. I was down in Sussex for 8 years. And then I went back up to Humberside. I classed myself as a Yorkshire lad. But I went back up to Humberside for 14 years. And then, as a result of having done some voluntary work for the Football Association, mainly to do with instruction and referee education, in 2001, the head of refereeing then, John Baker, came up with an idea where he wanted to try and professionalise the workforce to focus on the development referees within grassroots, which is now the national game.
Mm-hmm.
And his idea was to put a number of regional referee managers in post to cover each region, who would work with a number of different county football associations to support what they were doing for referees.
Just to confirm, what is your actual title within the FA that you work under?
My title is, it seems to change every year, but so my title currently is Senior National Game Referee Manager. And what that means is that I have the responsibility to look after the national game, which is the grassroots local football in respect to referees. So that's for anybody coming into refereeing right up to level five, an inclusive level five. That's my responsibility. Okay. So if you break that down, Richard, what that means is that out the sort of 29,000 referees that we had at the end of last season, if we take about 2,500 out of that, because they're operating in supply leagues up to the Premier League, I suppose the rest is mine.
You look after the 25,000 referees.
I wouldn't know every single name, but that's my responsibility.
Well, I'm glad you recognise myself. I'll take that one as a plus there. Okay, so you've had a professional background in policing. Were you PC on the beat?
I was PC on the beat for a short time in Brighton. I then went in to become a detective. And then when I went up to Yorkshire, I spent a short time in uniform. And then ultimately, the last 11 years, I spent within training and in a child protection team as a detective.
All right, okay. So you've got loads of practical experience on the feet and in the office. So
yeah,
well done.
Absolutely.
So finally, where did your career in football terms get into the professional side of it, and when did it finish?
Yeah, I was very fortunate. As I say, I started in 1988, and in 2001, I went onto the Football League line. 2002, asked to go onto the Premier League line at the start of the Premiership, and I stayed on there until I finished at the grand old age of 45 in 2000, because that was the time when we had an age limit on both assistant referees and referees.
We came off at the same time.
We did, Richard. Yeah,
I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, sad days when you have to come off a list.
But sad, but at the end of the day, you know, it's amazing how these sort of quirky things happen. There I was enjoying my refereeing, but then suddenly thinking, what do I do next? And a year later, of course, was the opportunity to work full-time in football at the Football Association.
Can relate to that.
What was your highlight?
Oh, God, I knew glasses.
It's got to be one of the worst questions to be asked, because there'll be obviously so many of them.
Yeah.
Highlight, memorable decision, bad decision.
All right, I'll deal with the bad first. I always say this one. I remember I think it was my first ever Sky game, and it involved Sheffield Wednesday and Blackburn Rovers. And there's a certain young forward for Blackburn who hadn't scored for 6 games, and he just got into the England team, making a name for himself. I think his name was Alan Shearer. No, I know his name was Alan Shearer. And there I was on the line, and play was right on the touchline, very tight. And as I looked to my right along the touchline, the ball's played through. And by the time my head came level with the second rearmost defender, you've guessed it, Shearer had made his move. And I thought, he's offside. So up went the flag, just as he belted this volley into the top corner. his reaction, what can I say? I'm not particularly good at deciphering Geordie, but it wasn't particularly pleasant. And likewise, when we went off at half time, we had the manager, Kenny Dalglish, offer me a few choice words of advice. At that time, I think Blackburn were losing 1-0. And in the second half, they turned it round and they won 2-1. And that was the year, of course, when they won the Premiership in 93. The tale of that is I wasn't allowed to forget it for about a week, because when I arrived at work on Monday, my colleagues had decked out my desk with loads of pictures of Alan Shearer.
I noticed you used the word colleagues and not friends.
They were friends, but changed to colleagues after that. And my wife, when she saw it on the television, she said, "What the hell were you doing?" And it was an absolutely blob that I made, because the fatal flaw was that when I turned my attention to when the ball was played, which was along the touchline, in the time that my head came back to level with the second rowmost defender, Shearer had made his move. And he was at least a yard onside, so the goal should have stood. But I'm pleased to say that there was maybe one or two other blobs, mistakes, but going on to the highlights, I was very fortunate to come to the old Wembley on 5 occasions. I did the Vase final, the Trophy final, and I did 3 playoff finals as an assistant referee. They were all highlights. I went abroad 8 times, and again, tremendous experiences. You know, and for me, I wouldn't actually just identify one highlight, because if I go back 3 years ago, when I was going back to refereeing local football, Cheshire County FA gave me the honour to referee their Sunday Cup final, which took place on the Wirral. And now, unfortunately, after I think it was 32 minutes, my hamstring went. But for me, that's just as big an accolade as anything else, to be able to come back to local football and be recognised that actually you're not a bad referee. For me, that was just as much of an importance.
And did you still have
game.
You had the same buzz about going into that final as you did going into a Premiership game or going to a game abroad?
Yep, absolutely. Yes. I mean, obviously the pressure's greater when you're trying to do your job in front of 76,000 people rather than 250. But for me, it's still the important thing is that you've got a responsibility to control a game and bring a game to a successful conclusion. Yeah. So I'd say every single game's been important to me. But there are some highlights, but that matches some of the others as well.
I like the commentary in where you just summarised it there. Every game was important to me. I believe every referee should take that out of it. There are some of us that get a little bit blasé, get a bit too relaxed, and that's when things go a little bit pear-shaped.
So. I agree with you, Richard. For me, and I say this whenever I talk to people, you know, use the game of football to learn, because every single game will give you something different. And for me, that is the beauty of refereeing, because when you go out and you actually blow your whistle to start a game of football, you don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. You may have refereed those teams tens and tens of times. You may know the personalities. But on that day, at that minute, during 90 minutes of football, you don't know what's going to happen. And that's the beauty of refereeing, because you respond to what's going on. But more importantly, actually, if you're a good referee, you actually read what's going on and you're proactive and you respond before it happens.
I think we've got lots of good referees, but we want all our referees to be better.
Absolutely.
That's our target, isn't it? You know, I don't believe there's any poor referees. We just want them to be better. So hopefully through these podcasts, through talking with people like yourself, we will be able to help people understand a little bit more about the background of individuals such as yourself and your team. The National Referee Development Plan.
Yeah.
Can I say it's your baby?
No, you can't.
Okay, no, correct me, please.
What I'd say is it's a collective. It's developed over a number of years. And it took us about 2-3 years to actually put into place, because we tried and tested it. The original draft, it is nothing like what we now have put in place. The original draft was all about developing referees at a certain level and taking them right to the very top. But we quickly recognised, well, actually, you know, we've already got a system in place for that.
Yeah.
What we need to do is support our referees and develop our referees coming in, our new, inexperienced referees. And I think it's, without a doubt, it's a number of different people have got together to create what I think is a really good system which offers a pathway. And if that's the word I use, pathway, there's a starting point and there's an exit point. And for me, that's what the National Referee Development Programme is all about. It's actually allowing people to see their progress, their promotion, allowing people to identify, there's a starting point when they come onto the basic referees course, they have to do a modular type of course, thereafter they receive their support through their six games, stage one, stage two, clearly now working with leagues and identifying what we call partner leagues. So leagues that have got good structures, they have got a good appointing system, they know how to appoint properly to, you know, a referee that's going to be able to cope with the demands of that particular game. So partner leagues are a really important part of that. So stage two is getting them more experiences in local leagues. Stage three then is identifying those that want to go in and have the ability to work within referee academies or become part of development groups or schools of excellence. And then finally, I suppose then, identifying those that just got something about them. They've got the commitment, the motivation, they've shown that they're good on the field of play, and then they go into what we call our regional development groups.
Within the plan, and very quickly talking about it, what would be, let's say, two of the main focuses within the plan that you've released?
For me, it's academy, working in academies and development groups.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm not talking about football academies, I'm talking about referee academies.
Okay.
So I'm talking about referees who potentially feed into a professional club where there is one. If there isn't one, it's a county academy scheme which enables referees to come together on a monthly basis. They receive education, fitness training, they go to events together, they maybe go to the RA conference as an academy group, but they get an identity as a team rather than an individual.
Yeah.
And for me, I think the big message about the National Referee Development Programme is that it is a team and it's not an individual. So
yeah.
I'm hoping now, even though you go out there over 90 minutes and try and referee a game of football and manage a game of football as a referee, usually on local football by yourself, with club assistance or hopefully with neutral assistance, but it's about a team effort and it recognises, I think, that you've got referees, but in order to be a good referee, you need the support structure of mentors. In order to develop your skills, you need your coaches. In order to develop your education and information, you need your tutors. So it's an all-encompassing programme that focuses on the individual, but the individual as, yes, an individual referee, but more about being a member of a big, big family team.
So point one is academy work.
Yeah.
And we've pretty well covered quite a lot of work in there. What about another point that would be not a priority, because that's not a fair word, but something that would be where you want a little bit more emphasis?
For me, I think it's two things. Mentoring is important.
Yep.
And I think the other thing is the regional groups, of which we have eight. So
yes.
In eight regions, we have the regional groups. We've got coordinators who are tasked to coordinate a group of about 20 to 24 referees. We've got coaches feeding into that. I think that's the key area which will enable us to pass on to the senior side of the game a better quality referee. Because right the way through, and that's another thing I meant to say, is that I hope within the National Referee Development Programme there's another key word, and that's quality. Quality's really, really important. We can, you know, we train about 7,000 new referees every year. And out of that 7,000, we are now retaining about 60% of those new referees, where if you look back sort of 3-4 years ago, that number was about 20-25%. So there's been a big change, and I think a lot of that has been down to referee development officers, support structures, volunteers, putting more work in to that support structure.
Let's go on to another area whereby what's been the results of the previous plan, because this is a second part of a four-year strategy,
yeah,
in 2 4-year blocks. Yeah?
Yes.
So what's the general review been of the past?
I think, without a doubt, very successful. A, from the point of view, when we started the National Game Strategy in 2008, four-year strategy, for the first time ever, the challenge that I had and my team had was to recruit 8,000 new active referees. We started with a baseline figure of 22,000, and as I said earlier, that last year we just had over 29,000. So by the end of this year, I think we'll have achieved our target of getting over that 30,000.
Does that mean the job's finished then?
No, absolutely not, Richard. Even though, interestingly, our County Football Association, our referee development officers, are now telling us in about 12, 13 counties that they are covering the majority of their games, 11-a-side football, on a Saturday and Sunday, which is fantastic.
That's good news.
Fantastic.
Good.
Now, we have to take into consideration, of course, that I think two things have happened there. That's the increase in activity of referees, but also it's, in some cases, unfortunately, the demise and the reduction of 11-a-side football.
Yes.
We have to take that into consideration.
Yeah, of course.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's been a success. So year on year, over the last 4 years, we've seen a growth in referees.
But there is also a take-up of small-sided football as well, and futsal, of course.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've got, Roger will tell you, Roger, in more detail, we've got something in the region of 820-odd registered small-sided referees. We've got 250 futsal referees.
And the and the ladies' game is bubbling along, of course.
We've now, and people might not be aware of this, but we've got a traffic light system in place, which is really colourful. So if you're waiting at the traffic lights, if you're on red, then you've not met your target. If you get to amber, then you're near enough your target. But if you get green and you get the goal, you've fulfilled your target. And that's what they operate within the Football Association National Game. And for the first time ever in 4 years, we've actually gone into green when it comes to recruitment of women referees, female referees. So we've got more now than ever before. So that is fantastic from our onwards. That's about 11% growth.
So we've definitely got some successes.
Absolutely.
But we've still got a lot more work to do, haven't we?
Totally. And you know, you mentioned, Richard, about the next four-year strategy that will take us through to 2015. That strategy now is not so much focusing on the numbers game, but more about activity and quality.
Yeah.
So coverage of more games by qualified referees, registered referees, but more importantly, able referees.
Now the work starts on performance and quality, as you say.
Yeah, absolutely.
And techniques and things like that. Okay, Darren, you've got a question here.
Just a quick word, really, on retention and recruitment, as you've just been talking about there. Has the media been a good thing because it's highlighted everything to do with refereeing a lot more in the last 5 years, or has it been a bad thing? Because at the moment, we're saying, obviously, we've got the highest amount of referees in the country. When you consider a lot of referees, because of the high-profile games and incidences which have taken place, some people might look at that and think, oh, I wouldn't want to be a referee. But has it done the opposite?
I think it has in some respects, Darren, but I think something else fundamentally has changed. And I go back to about 5 years ago, when what we decided to do is open our doors and let people know exactly what refereeing was all about. And the media then came to what we call taster days. So we had some of the key people who were writing every week and every day in sports sections in the tabloids. And they came along, and I think we ran something like two or three different sessions over a period of 18 months. But we gave them an idea about what it's to referee. We showed them some video clips. We showed them some match incidents about challenges. What would you do? And then we took them outside. And we were waving flags around. We had games of football for them to referee. We had got some absolutely fantastic publicity out of that. And they came back 12 months later. And then they came back 6 months later. Some the same reporters. Other times different reporters. If you go back to last year, we did a piece with Robbie Savage, a big critic of referees, but Robbie came along to Burton Albion and we did a taster session for him inside, and then we said, there you are, there's the under-18s, go and referee the under-18s and see what it's like. And I tell you what, it was a good meaty game. You know, and he said, and we were chaperoning him through the whole process, and he came off there saying that's one of the hardest things he's ever had to do. So things like that, I think, is important. That's why I say we've opened our doors. We've actually said, yeah, come on then. Come and have a look at what refereeing's all about. Come and have a taste of what refereeing's all about. And I think that has done us an awful lot of good. So it is, you know, sometimes we have to turn the negative into a positive. And refereeing's like that.
Exactly.
You know, if you referee a game of football where you make a mistake, then what you do is learn from that mistake, turn the negative, what happened, analyse it, not too much, just a little bit, and get something from it so that you'll never ever do it again. And so you've learned from it. So the negative suddenly says, actually, yeah, I can understand what I've done. Might be marked positioning, might be in the wrong angle, might be in blocked vision. And then suddenly you turn that into positive, say, I'll never do that again because I'm going to go wider, I'm going to go nearer, or whatever it is.
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellin.
And a big thank you to Ian Blanchard, Senior National Game Referee Manager. As I was saying earlier on, that interview took place the day before the FA Cup final between Chelsea and Liverpool. And whilst we were there getting ready and preparing for our next interview, which you can hear in the next episode, we got a knock on the door and Phil Dowd popped his head round the corner because he knows Rich. And that was quite a random moment. He was with his team of officials and they were gearing up for the FA Cup final, in which I think it's fair to say they did a fantastic job on a great game of football that day, didn't they? Anyway, you can hear that in our next episode. Thanks very much for listening today. Don't forget that you can contact us through the website, refereesworld.co.uk. If you've got any questions or anything you want to pose to us on Twitter, you can do that. You can follow us at Referees World.
The download is complete.